From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Hey, we are the Knickerbocker Athletic Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. Conference Finals, Part Deuce. Only episode of the week, talking sports. This normally would have been our bye week. It would have took the whole week off every 3 months. Kind of got thrown off last year with the COVID. But this year, five straight months of episodes. And I think we had like half a week of shows. But I think one time in March or April. But nonetheless, these conference finals in the NBA, Clippers and Suns, as we discussed this, is right before game number 6 in Los Angeles. And then, of course, series tied at 2 between the Bucks and the Hawks, where this is a wide-open NBA. You don't have your LeBron Jameses. You don't have these Golden State Warriors, the Kevin Durants in the mix in the hunt of an NBA championship. You got four teams, four fresh franchises. Suns haven't been to the finals since, 93? And only been there twice, another time in 76 versus the Celtics. You have the Bucks, who have saw the glory days with Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson in the early 70s. But these two teams in the East, with the Hawks as well, Hawks haven't won a championship with the franchise in the city of Atlanta. I think the last time they won was when they were St. Louis as the St. Louis Hawks. But, and as you already know, the Clippers never won. It's always been the Lakers town. They bounced around from city to city, originating in Buffalo, made their way to Kansas City, San Diego, and then now in L.A. in the early 80s. It's been some interesting games, man, closeout games in particular, where the Suns could have ended things in Phoenix. Could not get that done, and it was a heroic effort by Paul George. You saw a good game, a very good game out of Reggie Jackson, and a nice, strong outing out of Marcus Morris. You got a lot of contributions with no Zubac in the lineup. You had, of course, you have no Kawhi Leonard the entire series. And you can say they're playing shorthanded or whatever, but they do have the arsenal to try to come back in and make it interesting in game number 6. The Phoenix Suns, they didn't play without Chris Paul early on in the series because of the COVID protocols. But you saw some good games out of the role players, Campaign, Jay Crowder. So, nice contributions and fillings. And, of course, Devin Booker had some good games as well, and especially early on in the series. But I think, between the Suns and the Clippers, the Suns are going to try to end things on the road. I don't know what happened in that fourth quarter in game number 5, man. It's like Paul George got hot and they could not stop him, man. He was very determined. He had the outside shot going. He was getting to the rim. He was finishing, getting and-ones. He was finding teammates. Reggie Jackson was making big threes. Marcus Morris was making his perimeter shots. You got some contributions off the bench out of Boogie Cousins. So, formidable, man. They've shown they have the guts to survive. I thought they would have mailed it in. They got out to a good lead in that game number 5 versus the Suns. We'll see what we're going to see what the Suns do, man. I think the Suns need to try to go more inside, man, and got to speed up the pace, man. Man, that's one thing. If it ever was a knock on Chris Paul, it's kind of slowing up the game, man, because they got some fast guys on that team. They got Bridges, they got Devin Booker, Campaign, Cam Johnson coming off the bench. So I think it plays into the Clippers' hands when they go into the half court and the Clippers show up in the half court with the defense as far as a half court defense with a zone. If they found ways to get eight in the ball, because with the Clippers going small, no Zubac didn't even play either, right? Zubac didn't play. You don't have that much many. You don't have many big men to go to. At the 5 for the Clippers, I would find a way to get eight in the ball and get in the ball early. You know what I'm saying? If you could get some pick and rolls with him, he's not necessarily a pick and pop guy, but pick and rolls would definitely work for him, and he's susceptible to the alley oop. if they could get a more of an inside-out game, usually with Ayton, and back it out, you know, with, you know, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. They got a lot of, you know, very capable shooters. You know, Crowder on that wing. You could definitely do some beautiful things. They could probably finish things off in L.A. We will see, because Tyronn Lue has kind of got their guys going, man. Not a bad coach. I thought he was kind of overrated a little bit after that stint with Cleveland, because I thought that was more, you know, LeBron James than anything. But, you know, shorthanded without Kawhi Leonard, motivating Paul George, motivating Reggie Jackson. You know, Reggie Jackson, the guy, you know, he had a lot of injuries. Remember, he was on Oklahoma City playing behind Russell Westbrook a lot of those years, right? And then he got the big contract in Detroit, and it never panned out because of his injury situation. And Detroit, as we all know, has kind of stumbled and become a lottery team, never that a playoff team to be in the mix, you know, a 7 or 8 seed. They kind of stung up the joint. But now, you know, it's been a season removed, more than a season removed, that trade with him, getting to L.A. He looked real comfortable, man. He was going to the lane and dunking, shooting deep threes and attacking the rim at, you know, mid-range game. And Reggie Jackson looks refreshed out there, man. He definitely does. But it really comes down to Paul George. So Paul George, I think it kind of is, you know, without saying, if he could duplicate or somewhat duplicate what happened in the game on Friday. If he could do that, they probably will go back to Phoenix and have a great Game 7. And I actually would like to see a Game 7 in this series. It's been a nice up-and-down series. I thought it was Phoenix. It was going to be all Phoenix, even without Paul. You know, with Chris Paul in the beginning, he hasn't really necessarily been the statistical factor like he was in the Denver series. But I think bringing him back to a Game 7 in Phoenix, it was a loud crowd out there. It was loving to see, love seeing the fans out there repping, out there in the Valley. I would think Phoenix would close it out 1 out of 2. It would suck that being up 3 games to 1 in the series and you fuck it up. Meaning Chris Paul, because he's been in this situation before. I don't think he want to go down that road again. You know, DeAndre Ayton, I think, I would call him an X factor, but I think they got to find ways to get him the ball inside, especially if Zubac's not going to be in the lineup. You don't have to worry about DeMarcus Cousins defensively. So you can have your way. You get your 20 and 10 easily and then set everything up with Devin Booker, because you've seen that happen in the Lakers series and also the game, the series versus Denver. Let me go back to Paul George real quick. I'll get to all the other Clippers and then the Suns and get to the other series. But when it comes to Paul George, he had a lot of criticism. I mean, he's been in so many playoff games, playoff series. You go back to Indiana, like all those years versus Cleveland, the Bulls, Miami, and he always feels like he's always been on the losing side of things. All right, and then it's kind of like, okay, a lot of people didn't really consider him like an alpha or a guy that's the true number one. If he's the number one on your team, that means your team's not good enough to win the championship. And that's kind of the stigma it's been on him, negatively. I mean, I think he's a good player. Don't get me twisted. You know, I think he's a good player. Very, he doesn't do anything great. He just does a lot of things well. That means score the ball. He's not a great shooter percentage-wise, low to mid-40s career-wise shooting. But, I mean, he's capable of making the three. He's capable of attacking the lane. And I think that game, missing the 2 free throws, and then the inbound with the dunk that Ayton put it in, that could be the bat breaker ultimately. I mean, you could always say it's only one game. You could say that you got to play more games to, you know, show and prove. But if you look back at that series and what happened at the end of the game with Paul George missing those 2 free throws, this series could be 3-2 Clippers, theoretically, if Paul George makes his free throws. And I don't, mentally, to see him bounce back from that, to put themselves back in a position to win a game 3, could mean all the world. Because let's face it. They split the first two. They go to L.A., and they were never in that game, I didn't think. Phoenix kind of controlled everything in game three. But game four, I just think with things on the line, Phoenix did their thing. Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. Clippers won game three. It was game four. That's where I was watching them at the bar. That's right. Game four, Clippers had the chance to really make things interesting, and they did it. And that's why it went up 3-1 Phoenix at that time. And then, you know, I saw the, you know, interviews, of course, post-game stuff with Chris Paul, and they're not done yet and all that. But it really means that he's got to close the deal in game six. He got to go out strong. Got to go out at least 30-8, 30-7. Got to make clutch shots and make your free throws. And I'm talking about Paul George in this. Because you would think Marcus Morris, he has this in him. You know, this doesn't surprise none of the people on this platform, especially Knicks fans, you know, after the half a year he had with the Knicks before the COVID. He can't score. I think he's so deferring to Kawhi and Paul George all those times. It's like he almost forgets that. You know, he's playing his role. It's like he doesn't have to take the shots. He kind of forgets about that. So Marcus Morris is capable of putting up 20. That's no surprise. I think it surprised a lot of NBA fans, but Knicks fans remember when he came over for the half a year, he was the leading scorer over Julius Randle. So he has that in him. To me, it was more Reggie Jackson that was surprising to me, because I know Reggie Jackson could play. But to see him be in attack mode like that, he's kind of, in a way, outplaying Chris Paul. He's in a way, he is kind of outplaying Chris Paul. And I think if they could get that out of those dudes, this shit is going back to Phoenix. Assuming, like I said, they don't go back to DeAndre Ayton. And if Booker's not having his 35 to 40 point game, his explosive games like he did against the Lakers in Denver, but he's playing well. Paul George just got to keep it up, and I think it's unfortunate. You know, like I said, he was on those years in Indiana, then he had that one quick stint with OKC. Remember, they got eliminated with Russell Westbrook by the Portland Trail Blazers, and then he finagled or facilitated the trade to get him out of OKC to LA to link up with Kawhi Leonard. You know, as Kawhi Leonard's a free agent, and that sucks for Kawhi Leonard, man, because I know he already got his championship. But we would like to see him had done it. See, the thing is, I'm still kind of bitter with the Clippers of what happened last year in the bubble, because I was kind of pro Clippers winning it all, and they kind of let me down. They pissed me off. I shouldn't be that pissed off, because it's not even my team. I'm a Knicks fan. So to go from that to almost on the brink of elimination this year, I kind of really don't care to an extent. But I think Phoenix has one or two games together, and they can really get the job done. And talking about the Phoenix Suns. Off the bench, you know, I thought, you know, Terrence Mann for the Clippers, I think, is a very good fill-in player, young player out of Florida State. And I think, you know, the shooting, I haven't seen a lot of Luke Kennard in the series. I'm not sure why he gets the burn. I guess Tyronn Lue believes that he's not a fit as far as rotational minutes with those guys. But I like that Lue will definitely adjust in-game crazy, because he'll go with the three fours, he'll go with the three guards, he will mix and match anything, make you match up to them. And that's something that, you know, Monty Williams has done a good job pretty much all year. And I thought Campaign has played a lot of good minutes for the Phoenix Suns. This goes back to Chris Paul coming off the COVID. Doesn't it kind of look like the same Chris Paul self from the Denver series? I'm not saying he's tired. I'm not saying he's fatigued because of the COVID. But I don't know what is going through his mind. I mean, he still has the pit bull in himself to get it done, because he loves getting to that free throw line as far as creating his own shot. But it really starts and dies with DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. They got to go through that. They should go through that. They have to go through that. And they go through that, they go to the NBA Finals and potentially win an NBA championship. Because I think they would be the favorite out of the remaining four as of right now, especially what happened in the East, especially game four between the Bucks and the Hawks. So that's kind of how I see it. I believe the Clippers could force a game seven, and I think eventually it's Suns in six or seven. We'll find out after this episode when we conclude it. But going back, I don't know if Monty Williams is going to make that adjustment. Is he going to get more minutes to Campaign, who was playing pretty good? Of course, he's not Chris Paul, but he gives you a lot of energy. And he's a faster player than Chris Paul, and he fits the tempo of the Phoenix Suns. So let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens with Chris Paul and how he's going to come up with that. Now in the East, this is fucking interesting, man. You know, Brooklyn's out. Philadelphia's out. So your proverbial favorites in the East are out. This is wide open. This was supposed to be the Bucks' year. Some people had thought the Bucks would have gotten by Philadelphia and Brooklyn anyway. It's possible. I would have put it past that. But especially winning that game three in Atlanta. But despite the circumstances, knowing Trae Young is out, they had an opportunity to really put their foot to the necks of the Hawks. Talking about Milwaukee, a couple of things went wrong in this game, game four game. Number one was there was no sense of attack mode, urgency from Giannis Antetokounmpo. There was no desire. Like, they played so lackadaisical after, as if game three was, okay, we won game three, we'll just settle for the split, go back to Milwaukee for game five. But they should have, I would say smoked them. They should have beaten the Hawks. The Bucks are the better overall team when you consider, okay, it's top heavy with Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak. I can never pronounce his name, right? It's top heavy with the Greek Freak. They may have, the Hawks may have a deeper roster, and some people may say, okay, they made a better team, but Giannis is all the difference in the world as far as getting into that paint. Problem is, you know, getting into the paint. He struggles at the free throw line. It was terrible to watch, you know, with the countdown from the fans in the stands, and he's shooting two air balls at the free throw line in the first half. And I've never seen nothing like that in my life. You know, waiting until the last minute and shooting two free throws and shooting air balls. And he gets hurt in the third quarter. I think trying to defend the pass he was trying to defend the pass that was headed for Clint Capella, and he came down awkward, hyperextended his knee. No ligament damage was reported. So he may not even be back for the series. So the question is, do the Bucks have enough to beat the Hawks as is? And there's question marks on the Hawks as well. So the question, do I think so? I think they could. They're just going to have to play well. And that comes back to the coach, Mike Budenholzer. You got to come out harder than that, man. That was disappointing to watch, man. Because, like I said, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm a Knicks fan. The Bucks, you know, if fully healthy, should win the NBA championship. And that includes beating the Clippers and beating the Phoenix Suns, I believe. This is the opportunity, a window wide open for all the players involved. Like, if it's a Paul George, a Chris Paul, on a Hawks side, a Trae Young, but especially for the Greek Freak, when you're a two-time NBA MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, this is your year to cash in. When you did go to Brooklyn and win Game 7, Philadelphia got ounced. You got to come and win, but the problem is Greek Freak may not even be back for this rest of the series or a hyperextended knee. It'd be surprising if he came back, but I doubt it, you know. They got a lot going on because it's up and down with Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton didn't have the sense of urgency in game four like he did in game three in that fourth quarter. He had a beautiful game four, a fourth quarter in game three. I think he went for 20 points in that fourth quarter, was playing absolutely well. But without Greek Freak, could they lean on Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez? I think they can. Now, I think Jrue Holiday is going to have to step up. He's been up and down offensively. But he's a slight upgrade over Eric Bledsoe. As a two-way player, I would take him over, you know, Eric Bledsoe. I mean, it's kind of close, but I would still go with Jrue Holiday. It's not much of a difference. He's just got to have to show and prove. I mean, he played very well, especially in game two when the Bucks smoked the Hawks. See, that's the type of Bucks team I expected to see, given the Hawks' shooting problems, defensive woes. You know, they destroyed them in game two. Game one, it was kind of surprising they were getting a feel for each other. The Hawks made big shots. Trae Young made a lot of good shots. Now, you know, will Trae Young play? That's another question. In game five, after he rolled his ankle against the referee in the second half. You know, the thing is, there's a good chance that the Hawks should be up 3-1 in the series. They were winning that game. They were winning game three. They destroyed them in game four. And it's like the Bucks had no game plan. You know, not only they didn't show no will or attack, it's like Nate McMillan outcoached Mike Budenholzer because you had Lou Williams, who was normally coming off the bench, didn't have a lot of minutes. That hasn't really shown the Lou Williams potential that we've all come to know. And him playing point, you know, he's been a scorer all of his life and sixth man of the year type of shit. Lou Williams orchestrating the offense beautifully in the absence of Trae Young. Everybody was getting there. Even, what was his name? Bogdanović, who's been hurt, finally came to life, making perimeter threes. Gallinari, Kevin Herter. I don't think John Collins even have a good game. You know, Clint Capella fucking made a fucking Larry Bird behind a backboard shot. I could have believed what I was watching, how he made that shit. In the third, was it the third quarter he made that? It was in the second half for sure. They all played well. They played like they wanted it. Hell, fucking Dunn came off the bench. Yeah, I hadn't seen Chris Dunn all season. And what's his name? Cam Reddish came off the bench and knocked down a couple of threes. And everybody thought, you know, he might be done with the Hawks. But I didn't even think he was ready to play. Nate McMillan throws him in the game, throws Chris Dunn in the game, throws in Cam Reddish, and they give you immediate production. And I said that I thought the Bucks are better, because they're top heavy. But if you're not going to be top heavy, the Hawks clearly have the better roster, and they have a mix of veterans. They have a bunch of shooters. Kevin Herter is getting more comfortable by the playoff game. He's showing a lot of development and growth. Bogdanović came to play. Gallinari, you know, the savvy veteran, the shooter, and they can all shoot. Lou Williams can shoot. They all can shoot. Yeah, John Collins can shoot. He's kind of short to shoot. But it really is about Milwaukee. It is really about Chris Middleton has to have an explosion. Everybody knows that's going to be the go-to. So the X factor after that has got to be Jrue Holiday. And then whatever you could get, couple of corner threes from P.J. Tucker. And, you know, Brook Lopez has shown throughout his career he could score. But is that enough? Without the Greek Freak, everybody's going to hone on those top two guys. Now, are the Hawks going to be defensive-minded enough or enough defense on their roster to slow those two guys? They should. They should be able to throw a lot of bodies at those guys and make those guys work. Are you going to get any contributions off the bench from the Bucks, man? Forbes could come down and knock a couple of threes if Budenholzer puts them in the game. It's an interesting series. The fans of the Hawks, you heard a crowd at the end of game four. They said Hawks in six. It's possible. I think the Hawks have a lot of confidence, knowing that they knew they were going to beat the Bucks, even with Giannis in the lineup before he tweaked his knee. I think we could all sort of agree. I think there was a big percentage that the Hawks were going to lose that game. I mean, the Hawks were going to win that game. The Bucks were going to lose. Even with Giannis in the game, they looked flat. Giannis only had like 7 points up until the point he got hurt. Not attacking, couldn't make free throws, just looked totally disengaged like the rest of his team. You know, Bobby Portis is a nice player, but he's not, you know, he's shown some games with the Knicks where he can give you 20. That's the type of guy the Hawks may be sleeping on, that they need to roll the dice to Bucks. Hopefully he can get you 18 to 20 and help contribute, make up some of that lost points for the Greek Freak. That's how the Bucks need to play it. Got to get contributions from a guy like Bobby Portis. Hopefully PJ Tucker can knock down his, you know, his usual corner threes from the corner, get you about 11 to 12-ish. And then he's going to play defense on their best, you know, offensive player. That's pretty much the game plan. But you got to get these guys motivated. It just looked totally disengaged for the Hawks side of things, man. So getting ready for Game 6, Suns and Clippers. By the time you guys hear this episode, that game will probably be over. And then we'll see what happened in game number 5 between the Bucks and the Hawks. This is a wide-open NBA. I kind of like it, man. I'm tired of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, LeBron James-type teams, or L.A. Lakers, or the Golden State Warriors. Remember we had that stretch with all those damn Golden State-Cleveland series? People was getting tired of that shit. To that one year Toronto, you know, snuck in and won the championship when Kevin Durant hurt his Achilles heel. The Warriors were supposed to win that championship, but Kawhi and Pascal Siakam, they all had different plans, man. Enjoying the playoffs, man. I have been enjoying the last four teams, these games, man. The game one between the Hawks and Bucks was my favorite of that series. A lot of back and forth, a lot of big-time shots made. I would say Game two between the Suns and the Clippers was my favorite game. You know, of course, the DeAndre Ayton game, finishing that off, man. We'll see, man. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll be in the NBA Finals at that point, man. It's the Bleed Blue Show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Had to get on here and weigh in on these last four remaining teams here. Sagres, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.